listen to the best of the church's Christmas music during the entire Christmas season at LutheranPublicRadio.org. During the 12 days of Christmas, Lutheran Public Radio, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
The back alley of abortion operating today inside so-called legal abortion clinics.
What I think makes evolutionary theory bad science today is we're not allowing an honest testing of it.
If you're a Christian and you're going to oppose same-sex marriage, we're going to put you in Bigotville and you have to stay there. And if we catch you outside in likable land, then we're going to be very angry about this and punish you for kind of coming into our territory.
I think the liturgy really is children's church. You know, it's especially true when you see people who've lost their memory, who've lost their sight, who don't know how to read. Children who don't know how to read, they can all participate in the liturgy.
Latin teachers and future seminarians. Love, issues, etc. Pater Noster, quias in caelis, sanctificat or nomen tuum.
Every year we sit down and go through the list of religion writers' top stories for the year. And usually there's quite a bit of variety in the topics that are dealt with there, because you got a whole year of religion stories to choose from and a whole world of religion stories to choose from over the course of that year. But this year's top 10 religion stories from religion news writers is kind of a one-note trumpet. One story dominates them. Well, not all of them, but almost all of them. And that, of course, has to do with the presidential election. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. on this New Year's Day. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Terry Mattingly will join us to talk about the top religion stories of 2016. Then Dr. Paul Grimm will be our guest. We're going to study the New Year's hymn, Now Greet the Swiftly Changing Year. Terry Mattingly is a regular guest. He's Senior Fellow for Media and Religion at the King's College in New York City. He is author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate and the book Pop Goes Religion. He's founder and editor of GetReligion.org. Terry, welcome back.
Glad to be here.
You have frequently made the case that journalists view religion through the lens of politics. Does this year's top 10 religion stories, does it prove your point?
It's a manifesto on that point. I don't think there's any way to look at it. In the Religion News Writers Association poll, the Trump election basically wins four of the top 10 spots in the poll. They divided the various issues related to it up so many times. In fact, you could make a case that it's in five. Half of the items have to do with the election, because even when they're dealing with kind of the annual summary of what Pope Francis did, they put in there his mass at the U.S.-Mexico border supports immigrants. He speaks of Donald Trump's proposed border wall as not Christian. So they even got Trump into the papal roundup item, which is like a, you know, a standard thing that appears every year. Whatever the Pope did this year is going to be one of the 10, and if it's Francis, it's probably going to be pretty high up. And then, of course, in perhaps the most fascinating shot at Trump and presumably his supporters, instead of Trump being elected the religion newsmaker of the year, the newsmaker of the years were the cons, the Muslim parents who spoke at the Democratic National Convention, were the religion newsmakers of the year. So in a way, you could say, if you count that event, you could say they put six Trump-related or dominated items in the top 10 or in their poll. So you think that makes the case?
Yeah, I think it does. I mean, other than showing that politics is the dominant framework on which even religion stories is based, do they have a point that religion played a big part? I mean, other than taking one point and dividing it up into five different points, do they have a point that religion was a dominant factor in that Donald Trump's election is essentially a religion story?
Well, yeah, I think they do. I mean, obviously they do. I mean, after 18 million gazillion headlines about Trump being elected by the evangelicals, at some point you have to stop, though, and ask what that meant and what actually happened here. at Get Religion all the way through the final stages of the election, we kept pointing readers toward a piece that was that ran at Christianity Today back in the middle of the summer that had a wonderful headline, and it was based off a survey by the Pew Forum. And the headline at Christianity Today was, Pew, most evangelicals will vote Trump, but not for Trump. Let me read that again, because it's a brilliant headline. Most evangelicals will vote Trump, but not for Trump. The summary, then, the lead, was more than three-quarters of self-identified white evangelicals plan to vote for Donald Trump in the fall, 78%, but they aren't happy about it. Now, of course, it ended up being, what was it, 81 or 80% of white evangelicals? So even at midsummer, that number, 78, is not that far off, you know, from 80, 81%. But the key, when they get down into analyzing this, was that 45% of those people, 45% of white evangelicals said that they meant their vote not as an endorsement of Trump, but opposition to Hillary Clinton. So I would argue that to some degree, the RNA didn't get the actual issue of one of the two or three things that elected Donald Trump. Number one would have to be that Hillary Clinton didn't get enough votes from Democrats. And that's number one. She's not president-elect because she didn't get enough votes from Democrats. It's just that simple. Then if you want to look at the religion angle and separate that off, I mean, even that angle has a religion angle to it in the kind of the disaffected, the blue-collar Democrat-Catholic vote was clearly a big part of what happened in the Midwest. So there's a religion angle there. But then if you're going to look at the evangelicals, the story of the evangelicals is why so many of them who didn't want Donald Trump at all felt they had to vote for him. And that gets us back to the overarching issue of the last couple of years, which is religious liberty. And there have been several columns that made a perfectly valid point that if you wanted to know when Donald Trump was elected president, you probably should go to the oral arguments at the U.S. Supreme Court on April 28, 2015, actually not in 2016, in 2015, when in the oral arguments on the Obergefell case, you had that question about whether churches that oppose same-sex marriage, if religious institutions, schools, universities, etc., might lose their tax-exempt status. And the representative of the White House point of view in the argument said, I don't deny that it's going to be an issue. So, I mean, with that statement, and then all the other things that came along related to the Little Sisters of the Poor and the trans law, the Title IX executive orders, a host of things made the U.S. Supreme Court even more than normal the deciding issue for many, many traditional, as opposed to progressive, religious voters. And that never made it into the RNA list as an item in and of itself. It's just kind of, there's like a piece of it here, a piece of it there. But that's what I think was the story of the election. And I haven't written my actual column on the RNA list yet, but I'm going to argue that that was the religion story of the year. Maybe it's possible that the biggest religion story of 2016, when we look back historically on this, because frankly, I don't think we know what Donald Trump's going to do on any of this. We know what he says, but does anybody take what Donald Trump says as some sort of inerrant code? I don't think we know what he's going to do. There's a chance that when we look back on this year, the number one story is going to end up being the one that the RNA put all the way down in number four, which was the papal proclamation on divorce and the statement that under some conditions, maybe, who knows, it's not worded so you can tell, but we need to be pastoral about it. Maybe the Roman Catholic Church needs to change how it handles people who have been divorced, and not divorced in the eyes of the church, but secular divorced and then remarried, maybe we need to let them receive communion. If that issue lingers and isn't clarified, in the long run, if you look at the world scene, that might end up being the story of the year. We just don't know yet.
We're talking about the top 10 religion stories of 2016 with Terry Mattingly of GetReligion.org and the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate. On the other side of the break, the number two religion story by the religion news writers is retaliation against Muslims after Trump's election. Did that rise to the level of a number two story in terms of its scope? We'll get Terry's answer after this. Your pastor has been called to shepherd you as a member of Christ's flock. Doxology offers an innovative program of advanced study retreats where your pastor can be refreshed, renewed, and refocused. Find out more at doxology.us. Many pastors report that doxology has been one of the most valuable learning experiences since seminary. Doxology, the Lutheran Center for Spiritual Care and Counsel. Doxology.us. Doxology.us.
Listen to what you want, when you want. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran Learning. Issuesetc.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
Listen to the best of the church's Christmas music during the entire Christmas season at LutheranPublicRadio.org. During the 12 days of Christmas, Lutheran Public Radio, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're looking at the top 10 religion stories of 2016 with Terry Mattingly, founder and editor of GetReligion.org. Folks, if you appreciate our weekly segments on media coverage of religion with Terry Mattingly, it's not too late to make a year-end tax-deductible gift to support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. Any size donation is deeply appreciated. You can make a secure online contribution at issuesetc.org. You can also make a year-end tax-deductible gift by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to Issues Etc. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois 62234. That's Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois 62234. Thanks for listening, and thanks for your support at the end of 2016. Terry, let's talk about the number two story according to the Religion News Writers list. It's the retaliation against Muslims in America after Trump's election. Did that story rise to the level of number two in terms of its scope?
It didn't for me. To me, it shows you how angry journalists are about Donald Trump's election. I mean, in the sense that there were also acts of violence against Trump voters. I'm not saying that there's any sort of direct parity of number there. The more information we get about these cases of backlash and everything, the more confused that they seem to get. I think it's safe to say that there are very, very high emotions associated with this election, and that on both sides, a lot of them are being expressed in ways that are terrible. I mean, when you have CNN personnel joking during countdowns to a live shot, when you have them joking about the president-elect's plane crashing, people are a little bit riled up about this stuff. So, to me, that's just a part of the bitterness of the election, and I wouldn't have even put that item in as a separate item. I just would have made it a part of the bitterness and division associated with the election in general. But then, you jump down all the way down to number seven, and then you have basically they put the election in again. Despite scholarly attention to the end of white Christian America and growing secularism, the former provide decisive votes for Donald Trump, while left-leaning religious nuns fail to deliver needed votes for the Democrats. Well, that's another comment on the election, another way of saying the election was the biggest story of the year. So it's like we've got 1A, 1B, 1C, 1D. You know what I'm saying? It's like they're amending these things. In fact, item number nine, although white evangelicals vote Trump by 4-1 margin, their leaders split sharply. Many evangelicals of color opposed him. Obviously not many, the vast majority. Supporters cited pledges of conservative policies and court picks. Opponents, it's the same thing all over again, all the way down there in point number nine. There's a whole bunch of stuff that didn't make the RNA top 10 this year that I think should have, because I think they needed to just write one item about the role religion played in this election. Name it number one, and then move on to the rest of life.
Number three, Standing Rock Sioux members, they demonstrate against the Dakota Access Pipeline in North Dakota. It has to do with water and sacred lands and things like that. But the kind of the tag that put it in there is clergy and religious activists from around the country join in protests.
Well, I mean, frankly, there's a religion angle to why the Sioux believe the land is sacred and why they think they're being violated. So there's actually religious liberty questions linked to the item itself. The fact that many, many progressive clergy and other clergy took part in the demonstrations hooks it. I think that's a top 10 story. I'm not sure it's number three when you look at some of the other things that are in the list. And in fact, when you look at some of the things that are not in the top 10 that I think should be.
They have as five 4,600 migrants killed in a Mediterranean shipwreck, series of shipwrecks while fleeing Africa and Asia, and those conflicts they fled being of, at least in some sense, religious in nature. I honestly, Terry, maybe I wasn't paying attention. I didn't know that story existed.
Well, no, I knew it existed, but it's existed for several years now. I think why it made this list is, once again, journalists are still extremely upset about these rising victories for nationalistic views in different parts of the world. The second half of that question, the ongoing crisis fuels anti-immigrant rightward political shifts in Europe, including Brexit. So I think that is in the list and places that high because of anger among a lot of journalists about Brexit, which is another way of saying, gosh, we are just mad about all kinds of things this year. People are not behaving the way we think they should. And you could even, although that Brexit definitely deserves its own item, perhaps maybe down in the list, but isn't that a part of that whole thing about why everybody is upset with the Trump win? People voting ways they shouldn't was kind of the theme of the year.
ISIS comes in finally here at the sixth slot. Did it deserve to be higher?
Yes. This was a horrible year. If you throw in the bombing of the Coptic Cathedral, or actually a church right next to it, at the end of the year, and then buried way down at number 21 in the list is the Easter bombing that killed 70 in a park in Pakistan with the Taliban. If you created a more inclusive list of violence by radicalized forms of Islam in this year, I could see it, and when I do my own list, I'll see where that goes. That's up in the top five for me. It was a horrible year on the symbolic violence front. And, you know, we're still technically looking at other things, like I said, that happened later in Europe and in the the Coptic bombing was a real wake-up that while everybody is focused on ISIS, things are not exactly straightened out in Egypt. And then you throw in the Pakistan, the horrible Pakistan bomb. It's a horrible year. And yes, I would have put those together, and it would have been probably in my top five.
Would you have included the number 10 pick for the RNA list, Omar Mateen, the killing 49, wounding 53 in Orlando?
Well, I think you could make a case that the first item was all violence-related. Well, I guess you could say that the Nice, France was not overtly religious except in the motives of the killer. So yes, maybe that one needed to go into the same item at the same time. I think it gets its own item because of the violence against a symbol of the gay community kind of separates it out, you know, in the mind of a lot of journalistic voters. But yeah, that's an excellent point. I think I would have put that in the same item in a wrap-up.
Black Lives Matter protests come in at 8, and again, clergy participated is kind of the way they tag it into the religion angle here. Is that I know it has religion angles, but is that a story that deserves on top 10 list?
Oh, yeah. I would have had it in mind. I also think that if you look, just to pick one symbolic location, if you looked at ongoing conversations among evangelicals and the role that racial issues played in debates among evangelicals this year, in everything from things involving the Southern Baptist Convention to other religious groups. Yeah, I think that is the update on the very important story of racial reconciliation, which has been a big trend, and it's even trivial to call it a trend. That's been a big issue for at least a decade now, among every conceivable kind of Christian, not just Christians on the left. So yeah, that's in my top 10. In fact, I think that's probably in about the right place.
Two final questions for you, Terry, with a minute for each. What's going to make your list that was missing from the Religion News Association poll?
Well, I mean, the death of Antonin Scalia and the impact that had on the court. I mean, in terms of the religious liberty cases the entire rest of the year and raising the stakes of the court, the death of Antonin Scalia, to me, definitely is in the top 10. I think the rising issue of physician-assisted suicide is going to make my top 10 as well. There were shocking developments on that front, both in reality in the form of legal changes, but also, I mean, fascinating poll results that show, for example, that American evangelicals now back physician-assisted suicide. That's a huge life issue on which Christian teachings are extremely clear. So I have a sneaky suspicion that's going to get in my 10 as well.
So we ask you every year, what's going to be the top religion story of 2017?
Well, you know, I've already seen an article by the great Richard Osling of Time Magazine, the Associated Press, and now he writes a weekly Here's What's Coming Up memo for Get Religion. Osling has already turned in his articles on that. And depending on what Trump does, and depending on who he names to the court, and whether any other court slots come open in the next couple of years, you would have to say religious liberty remains the item that you have to keep watching. But I think as long as I've known you, hasn't that basically been what I've said almost every year?
I think so.
But can you deny the impact that's having on American life? And when you look at religious liberty broadly defined, isn't that what we're talking about in large parts of the world? Pakistan, Egypt, Syria, Aleppo. I mean, all the religious rights and the rights of religious minorities is just remains the flashpoint for much of the pain and suffering that goes on in our world today. So I'm just going to be consistent, say the same thing all over again.
Terry Mattingly is Senior Fellow for Media and Religion at the King's College in New York City. He's author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate, and he is editor and founder of GetReligion.org. Terry, thank you very much.
Glad to be here.